welcome to the latest edition of Hartman Group's Insatiable Appetite podcast. I'm Robertson Allen, Senior Consultant in Hartman Retainer Services, and I'm joined today with Alyssa Chevalier, Director of Consumer Insights on Hartman Retainer Services.
Great to be here.
Yeah, Alyssa, we're here today to talk about Hartman Retainer Services, which from here on out we'll just simply call HRS. And we want to give listeners a behind-the-scenes look at how we help clients and how we do it, and talk about some of the interesting types of requests that we've done recently, all, of course, generally speaking to preserve client confidentiality. And it's crazy to think that I've been, it's been 8 years since I've joined HRS and about 5 years for you. That's time's gone by really quickly. But we should probably start out by explaining to listeners what HRS actually is to begin with, and then we can go from there.
Yeah, so HRS is one of our premium services that we offer at the Hartman Group, where it includes a bundle of all of our syndicated studies that are published throughout the year, as well as access to all of our back catalog of syndicated research. And the, you know, you get access to all of the reports that we put out. We put out a lot of special reports throughout the year. We put out our Ideas in Food Trend report that is included in that package. And then the really unique special part of it is that the HRS package also includes a set number of consulting hours, and we use those hours to put together a wide range of different deliverables. And that's kind of what we're here to talk about today, is what that can look like. But it's really, the sky's the limit in terms of what kinds of things we work on with clients. We use it to kind of rehash data that we've collected, you know, non-proprietary data that we've collected for our syndicated reports, for our Compass Eating Occasions database, and really dig into that data to look at particular questions for our individual clients. Mm-hmm. And we do that leveraging, you know, our expertise in the food and beverage industry, as well as our really unique backgrounds that our different consultants on the team have. Rob, for instance, has a PhD in anthropology. We have folks that are experts in kind of the culinary side, the food service side. We have folks who are more interested in like social psychology. And then, of course, the more business industry focused aspects as well. So we really are able to bring all that together to serve our clients on a for whatever their unique needs are.
Yeah. And I think that's a great summary. I like to think of it as basically us being these on-demand bespoke consulting services for clients. And I would say that each client is quite unique in terms of the asks that they have. You know, some tend to gravitate more towards our data and perspectives on their specific categories of interest, while others gravitate more towards these broader questions on things like food trends and where those trends are headed in the future. And then still others might ask us about these higher level strategic business questions that teams like consumer insights or marketing or product development teams are grappling with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also should say that while some client questions are really straightforward and, you know, based on a single study or a single set of data, most of the requests that we get are quite complex and require us to leverage a range of different sources. So we might include data from our syndicated research, from our Compass Occasions data. We might incorporate that client's own proprietary data or their own strategic frameworks or our strategic frameworks, as well as bringing in the food trends insights that we've gleaned as consumer experts over the years. And, you know, that might include kind of a broader perspective, as well as, you know, we are all food food lovers ourselves, and so we're always out looking for new products, new trends, and we try to bring that into our work as well.
Yeah, that all rings true to my experiences as well. But Alyssa, I think it would be good for us to kind of dive in to get some of those real world, more generalized examples of our work, and talk about some specific reports that we've done. And you have an example. Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, I do. It's one of my favorite reports that we've done recently, and it's on mushrooms. This is something that we have significant client interest on in recent years because of this greater awareness of how mushrooms can benefit various aspects of health, this interest in functional ingredients. And so we've seen this landscape really evolving over the years, and we had an ask to detail how the mushroom consumer landscape has shifted recently, especially when it comes to health benefits like mood and mental health.
Yeah. And so for this report, how did you go about putting it together and framing things up and leveraging all of our wealth of data here?
Yeah, so like most topical reports that look at both our data and cultural trends, we usually like to start kind of at the broadest end of the funnel, right? We like to frame the broader context first. So in this case, how do mushrooms fit with consumer approaches to health and wellness more broadly? We have a wealth of information on consumer approaches to health and wellness because we do our health and wellness syndicated study every 2 years. And one of the major trends that we've seen over the past few years fielding that study is how important things like anxiety and mental health have become. Yeah. They're issues that consumers are facing more often, and something that many consumers started paying more attention to during the pandemic. And the focus on mental health is also part of how consumers are approaching health and wellness in this much more holistic way. So functional mushrooms very much align to those consumer attitudes. So that was kind of where we started. The first chapter of this report was all about framing that context, leveraging our most recent health and wellness syndicated study, which was from last year, 2023. And specifically looking at things like the health conditions that consumers are managing, the needs that they have in regards to mental and emotional health, and how they try to meet those needs, as well as how mindfulness is becoming more of an aspect of consumers' approach to overall health. And then the second part of the report gets a little more specific to mushrooms. It draws on our data and perspectives from another syndicated study that we did on functional foods specifically. And so we take a closer look at mushrooms and how consumers' attitudes are shifting to apply functional foods like adaptogenic mushrooms to specific health needs like mood improvement, sleep, stress, and relaxation. And it also, in addition to that kind of context of what consumers are doing, we also look at this array of product landscape examples that focus on these and other conditions. And those are all things that we discovered through a detailed review of the marketplace, as well as things that we kind of already know about due to our familiarity with the space. So that kind of is a fun way of combining what we know that consumers are thinking with what's actually out there in the marketplace and how it's shaping the evolution of products that are actually available.
Yeah.
And then finally, we looked at how these kinds of products are differentiating themselves in this increasingly competitive landscape through attributes like potency and making sure that the consumer is actually getting an effective dose of the active ingredients, or things like highlighting sustainable or health-focused sourcing credentials like fair trade or organic, or things like combining active ingredients to make them more effective. And these are, you know, mushroom-specific examples of broader trends that we see in the functional space, as well as just in CPG, food and beverage in general, really kind of looking at how those broader trends that we've identified in our work apply to this particular category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all in all, it was a really fun to work on, report to work on, because it's such an exciting and emerging space with a lot of new consumer interest behind it.
Yeah. I think it's a really great example of how we can take these kinds of existing knowledge that we have already and our resources on consumer trends and tailor those to questions that are more specific and niche areas of client interest, right?
Yeah, for sure. And Rob, I know you have a different kind of report example. Can you go ahead and share that one with us?
Sure. Yeah, it's a very different topic. It's more grocery retailer oriented. And we had a question on how consumer needs are evolving when it comes to meat and seafood, especially in what attributes we can expect consumers to start paying more attention to kind of in the midterm, like 3 to 5 years out. So it was quite an extensive report. I think it was over 100 slides that covered not only the whole gamut of these new quality distinctions in specific categories like chicken and beef and pork and even plant-based meat, but also quality distinctions in seafood. And that included both animal and plant-based seafood. So I broke it up into 4 different chapters. 2 were focused on meat and 2 were on seafood. And the first chapter looked at the quality distinctions in meat and drew on a variety of our syndicated research. I noted that we included sustainability research, health and wellness, food and technology study that we did, as well as our organic syndicated study. And we included data from all of those studies in this report, and as well as this examples of the competitive retail landscape in both fresh and frozen meat cuts. But I think the most interesting part of the request was really this inclusion of several adoption curves that were requested by the client. And we crafted those adoption curves to look at what quality distinctions specific to chicken and pork and beef and seafood and plant-based, what quality distinctions are already out there in the mainstream consumer landscape, and which quality distinctions we're seeing becoming more mainstream in the near future, and then which ones are a little bit farther out there. So we were also able to apply our Compass Eating Occasions database to this report, had 2 chapters on that, and isolate data cuts to frozen meat and fresh meat cut occasions, as well as frozen and fresh seafood occasions. And this occasions data formed the basis of the 2nd and the 4th chapters of the report. One was on meat, and then one was on seafood.
That's great. And I think we should quickly explain to listeners a little bit about our Compass Occasions database for those who aren't familiar. It is a database that we field this study 3 times per year. And so we survey around 20,000 different consumer eating and drinking occasions each year. I think it goes back now to like 2013 we have over 200,000 eating occasions in the database total at this point. But it's a versatile set of data that really helps to contextualize the when, where, what, how, why, and who of eating occasions, as well as the need states that are present on those occasions and the emotional context of the occasion. So it's a really different way of looking at consumer behavior, but it's a really robust and useful resource for a range of different things, one of them being looking at specific category occasions like you've done in this report.
Yeah. But there's other ways that we can cut the data in Compass too, beyond what we're just saying here. But I included occasions dashboards. Those made the second and the fourth chapters that compared consumer occasions and needs when it comes to first frozen versus fresh meat cuts. And then in the fourth chapter, frozen versus fresh seafood. And in the fourth chapter on seafood, we were even able to show the differences between finfish and shellfish occasions. And they do have some interesting differences on seafood occasions. And then, of course, the third chapter, which I kind of skipped over, it took a similar approach to that as the first, but looked specifically at these quality distinctions in seafood and our data and perspectives on really the evolution of those distinctions, and also taking a look at the existing and really the emerging landscape of how those distinctions are being expressed at retailers currently.
Yeah, that's great. So, you know, these are two examples of very different reports, but they're just two examples. I think, you know, the distinctions between them give some sense of the variety of different deliverables that we can put together. And you know, we're doing this on a weekly basis. We are constantly getting in new questions. It keeps things very exciting. But I think we are just about out of time, Rob, so we should probably wrap things up. But to our listeners out there, please do get in touch with us if you'd like to learn more about Hartman Retainer Services and about the package options that we have that can be tailored to your budget and your needs.
Yep. Thanks, Alyssa. So that's it for this edition of Insatiable Appetite. I really appreciate you joining me today, Alyssa.
That's been great.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate the attention, and just have a great day, everybody.